parable of an individual who he passed through these stages in his life. This was a military man, Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi. This was a man who was a professional soldier, a career soldier, and he was carrying out his duty to his leaders. But on reflection and going through the process of examination, of applying his reason, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we started, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah has given us that internal check, our conscience, that gives us a guide whether what we are going to do is correct or whether it is wrong. And Hur felt this in his soul. So this matter was wavering in his soul. And he was going through this change until he had to make a decision. Because when the point reached of time for battle, he had to decide, would he battle on this side and have these people as his imam on the day of judgment, or would he battle on that side, of which the consequence is certain death? Hur chose to be a free man. And he went to the imam and begged for forgiveness. He stood before Imam Hussein alayhi salam, his eyes cast down, and asked him, "Oh, could I but sacrifice for you, you son of the Messenger of Allah? I have been stalking you all the way. It was me who prevented you from going back to where you came from, who kept close watch on you and roared on you in this place. I have never thought that the people would not agree to your proposition. O Lord, I turn to you in repentance, for I frighten the hearts of your friends, the offspring of your messenger. O father of Abdullah, Ya Abu Abdullah, Ya Abi Abdullah, I seek repentance from Allah for what I did. Do you think that he will accept it?" Imam Hussein alayhi salam answered, "Yes, he will accept your repentance." And Hur then addressed the Aziz army after taking permission from Imam Hussein. That was on the day of Karbala. That was in the Battle of Karbala. Hur went forth and gave his life first, before Imam Hussein and any of his family members could step forward. He stepped forward first. He took a decision. And many times, brothers and sisters, we will reach that crucial point where we have to make a decision. Do I go this way or do I go that way? And the temptation will come at us to go the easy way, because that is what Shaitan is expert at. We will be tried in what are our weakest points. And many times we will be tried in the matter of our sincerity, because failing to make us go the path of doing wrong, the shaitan tries to change our intention and make us do the right thing, but for the wrong reason. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in the heat of battle, the enemy spits on him and he stops and refrains from killing him. He was about to make a death strike. You know Amir al-Mu'mineen. About to make the death strike, and he refrains from making that blow. And on being asked as to why, he says that if I kill you, I will do so out of anger. At that point, look at the point in battle where this man came to kill you, and he could restrain himself from dealing with the enemy because he wants to distinguish between doing it for himself and for his own anger and doing it for the pleasure of Allah. That is how shaitan comes at us, brothers and sisters. It could be very easy to just wipe off that man because this is a man who was against you. But Amir al-Mu'mineen made that distinction, and this is the kind of example of the A'imma in regard to us approaching things carefully, being very careful about our niyyah. So, brothers and sisters, the whole issue of the struggle for the conquest of the self is one that is ongoing on a daily basis in all places, in all times. It doesn't leave out anything and anywhere. Rasul exhorted us, Ittaqillaha haythuma kunta wa atbi'is sayyi'ata bil hasana tamhuha. Follow up a bad deed with a good one. Fear Allah wheresoever you might be. It doesn't leave out anywhere, any place, any time. Fear Allah wheresoever you might be. And follow up a bad deed with a good one, and it will wipe it off.
Oh my Father, where are you? How can I live my life through? You went away, and since that day, how can I live my life through?
Hur followed up a bad deed with a good one, and Imam Hussein promised him that it will be wiped off. So, no one, this was a person who drove Imam Hussein. He came with 1,000 soldiers and drove him, prevented him from going his way, and drove him to the point of Karbala, the station of Karbala. He pushed him on that road, he prevented him from going to Kufa, and prevented him from going back. He made him go on the road to Karbala. That was Hur. Look at what he did. And he was thinking he is causing this disaster, to the Prophet's family, the Prophet's children and grandchildren. And he is worried, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised, if we can do a good deed after a bad one, it will wipe it off. Brothers and sisters, many are the anecdotes from Karbala. I would like to share one before we complete this time. And it is concerning the Imam Zainul Abidin, Ali bin al-Hussein, alayhi salam. He was hearing his father, Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, repeating the words repeatedly, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Over and over, Imam Hussein is reciting these words. And he asks his father, why are you praising Allah and repeating the verse of Raji'un, the verse of returning to Him? Imam Hussein said, my son, I nodded off and a horseman appeared to me, riding a horse, and he said, men are traveling and the fates travel towards them. Then I knew it was our own souls announcing our deaths to us. Father, asked this young man, does Allah regard you as evil? Are we not in the right? Indeed we are, he answered, by him to whom all his servants must return. Father, said the youth, then we need have no concern if we are going to die righteously. May Allah give you the best reward a son can get for his behavior towards his father, answered Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, at these words of Imam Zainul Abidin. So Imam Zainul Abidin was the Imam who eventually had the Imamate after the death of his father, Imam Hussein. And he, when he was asked, what was the hardest part of this process at Karbala? He used to say, Sham, 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 meaning Damascus. Because for 3 days these people decorated. They had singing, they had dancing, they had a big party in preparation for this procession of the Ahlul Bayt, the women and the children of the Ahlul Bayt, bareheaded without hijabs. Imam Zainul Abidin, afterwards in Medina, you know, he was always a sad person. He would go to the bazaar, to the marketplace, and the butcher would be cutting up the meat, and Imam Zainul Abidin would begin to cry. The butcher is just cutting meat. Imam Zainul Abidin would cry. And the butcher would ask, Why are you crying? Did I do something wrong, O Imam? Imam Zainul Abidin asked him, did you sharpen your sword before you killed the animal? The butcher said, yes. Imam cries. Did you give your animal water before you slaughtered it? You know, there's a practice that you treat an animal well before you kill it. The butcher says, yes. Imam cried, and he cries. Because he is remembering the situation at Karbala, where from the 7th of Karbala, the Ahlul Bayt were cut off from the water supply. And people, the breasts of the women, in a matter of hours became dried up because of this is the desert. And the children were roaming from tent to tent, trying to see if anybody had any water. And they were all crying, Al-Atash. Thirst. So he was remembering that for days and nights, Imam Hussein and his group of followers, his family and friends had no water. And they were right by the banks of the river, at which in the statement of Hur, he was telling the Arabs, you denied him, members of his household and companions, access to the waters of the river Euphrates, from which Jews, Christians, and fire worshippers drink, and pigs and dogs wade in. Yet Hussein, his family, and companions are dying of thirst. What misery you inherited, the offspring of Muhammad. May Allah not give you drink on the day of thirst. Everybody could drink in that river except Imam Hussein and his followers. Imam Hussein, brothers and sisters, was a child that was quite special. During her pregnancy, Lady Zahra alayhi salam, she was crying one night. The Prophet asked her, why are you crying? She said, the child in my womb spoke to me saying, oh my mother, I am your thirsty child. Before she cried, before she died, Lady Zahra, she called Lady Zainab and told her, your brother Hussein is very thirsty and you must always give him water. In her life also, Lady Zainab's life, and Lady Zahra's life, Zainab followed the example of her mother, Lady Zahra. She kept water in containers on both sides of her bed in case Imam Hussein wanted water.
Say that I was thirsty from the start. I should have stopped you and never let you depart. I should have never. Come back to me, uncle, and I will be happy.
Traditions tell us that every day Amir Mumineen, he went to the grave of Lady Zahra to recite Quran. And sometime he heard, you are reciting Quran for me, but my Hussein is thirsty. He said, he has Zainab. The voice said, she is sleeping. Amir Mumineen, brothers and sisters, was a brave man. But he cried, and his tears fell on the designer. She asked, why are you crying? He said, your mother has no rest. Because he promised about water for Hussein, but you left him crying. The designer said, Oh my Father, I was sleeping, but in the future I will never sleep. I will always be ready. This lady Zainab, we have a lot to gain from her example, brothers and sisters. Zainab, ornament of her father, she was a great woman, referred to as Sharikat al-Hussain, partner of Imam Hussain. She shared in the struggle of Karbala. She had a partnership in the revolution of Karbala, a woman. Just as Lady Zahra, her mother, had a partnership in the revolution of the Holy Prophet and Amir Mumineen. The Holy Prophet was told her history by Jibreel alayhi salam, and he started to cry. When he asked by his daughter Lady Zahra why, he told her whole history, this Lady Zainab, what she would see. She was called Ummul Masa'ib, Lady of Sorrows, Mother of Sorrows. What she would see, I don't know how much men can bear, what she would see. She would see the conspiracy and the death of Rasulullah. She would see the conspiracy after his death, and her mother, the grief that her mother bore for the short time that she was in this world. She would see her elder brother, the troubles that he faced, her father, the troubles that he faced before he was martyred, her elder brother, Imam Hassan, and the troubles that he faced, that even at the point of death and movement towards the grave, for the first time in history, arrows are shot at his bier, and he had to turn back. And then she would come and see her brother Imam Hussein go through what he went through at Karbala after 18 family members had died, brutally killed and mutilated, not just died, but mutilated, trampled on, their bodies trampled on and their heads cut off and placed on spears. Zainab would see all of that. And then still, Zainab would have to face the atrocities after that. And those atrocities were not easy, brothers and sisters. The loss of their hijabs. Zainab reported that her back was wounded because the hijab was dragged from her roughly, granddaughter of the Rasulullah. She had to see Imam Hussein's daughter. Imam Hussein, brothers and sisters, left off everything. And if we want to share his sacrifice, we have to be prepared to leave off everything. Imam Hussein left off his daughter, Sakina. You know, Imam Hussein prayed. He said, "Oh Allah, give me a daughter whom I cannot live with. Without her, and she cannot live without me, except when you call me, I will leave her." He had to leave his daughter, whom he loved so very much, and they used that to torture him and to torture Lady Zainab, because in the aftermath of Karbala, they dragged these earrings off her ears and pulled them out to cause bleeding on her ear. And when they cried, when she was crying and other women were crying, they were beating on her face. This young little girl, Sakina bint al-Hussain. The aftermath, brothers and sisters, it was not easy. She had to face, Lady Zainab had to face that struggle. Once Imam Hussain was standing up, Lady Zainab was sleeping and he was standing up providing a shade over her. So, you know, you for using his shadow to provide a shade. She woke up and asked him why. He said, one day I will be in the sun and you will have to stand to make a shadow for me. But on the day of Karbala, brothers and sisters, on the day of Ashura, when he fell from his horse, he called to the Zainab saying, Zainab, it is hot and you promised to cast a shadow for me. But she couldn't respond. She couldn't respond because there was no hijab. They looted her hijab, and in honor of the designer and our sisters who have to wear the flag of Islam, brothers and sisters, because we can get away many times with our bare head out there in the dunya, but these sisters, they have to struggle with wearing what I call the flag of Islam. And tonight I want to share with you a brief poem called The Flag of Islam. I am the flag of Islam, wear me. Hijab is the flag of Islam, fly me. A bandit stole me from a great lady of the Prophet's family. Her defiant spirit beneath me maintained her dignity. Though beaten in chains, thirsty, she fought back and shamed the enemy in order to save me. I am the flag of Islam, wear me. Hijab is the flag of Islam, fly me. Today they oppose me in Turkey, Holland, Spain, and Germany. They forget Lady Mary, who is never seen without me. But Bikini can walk free, yet I am banned from the university. Who am I? I am the flag of Islam. Wear me. Hijab is the flag of Islam. Fly me. With me, what you see is humanity, quality, spirituality. But without me, what you see is floating jelly, dominant sexuality, invitation to fantasy, to distract the Aki, weaken him and reduce his energy and create tension in society. Who am I? I am the flag of Islam. Wear me. Hijab is the flag of Islam. Fly me. They say to display is freedom and woman's liberation, but I say hijab on woman is the only way to true civilization. I am the flag of Islam. Wear me. Hijab is the flag of Islam. Fly me.